Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, TNT Hoops episode 17. In the building today, we got some very special guests for y'all. The first members of our teammate series, Ryan Crouching Up, and my man Southside, Raleigh Wise, members of the East Charlesburg Warriors 2017-2018, 27-16, they went to the Elite Eight.
Had a phenomenal season. Like Ansel was saying, piggybacking off that, had a phenomenal season. I remember watching y'all that year like, damn, they just keep winning. You know what I'm saying? I was hyped for my guys. I mean,
yeah, putting the full pressure on teams.
I knew that system. I was like, man, they just kept winning. So it was great to watch, obviously. But we got the guys in the building. How y'all feeling?
Doing all right, man. How you doing?
Yo, what's good?
Chilling, man. We living.
Ready to do some pod. I mean, we've been trying to get y'all on for a little bit.
Right. Got a couple questions we're going to ask y'all. You know, get into the vibe of that season. Talk about that a little bit. Obviously, we got some NBA work going on right now. I know y'all watching that. Let's get right into it. All right, so obviously, just to warm up, we're going to talk about the Warriors-Raptors, the finals right now, how that's going. What you guys think, and general thoughts, like what do you think about the series? Like, it's 1-1, obviously going back to Oracle.
Yeah, Warriors level it up.
Warriors stole that. With Klay Thompson getting hurt up there at the end, so
I wouldn't call it a steal. I think I was pretty confident the Warriors were gonna win that game.
I mean, yeah, but
given everything else going wrong,
Klay got hurt, and they played that what?
I think DeMarcus Cousins changed that game. To be honest with you, even in the first half, through the first four quarters of the first game, first two of the second, the Raptors totally just controlled the paint. You know, offensive rebounding. You know, the Warriors weren't getting second shots. They weren't getting in the paint. And Kawhi Leonard was, you know, doing his mid-range thing. The Raptors kind of just dominated inside the paint. They actually outscored them in the paint 26-10.
Yeah.
In the first half alone. And then the second half, it was total flip.
They're way bigger than the Warriors, period. Yeah. Like, their team just... The makeup.
Right. Let's kind of clog it up, just like you were saying. Yeah. Like I thought Marc Gasol would do a better job on Boogie, you know, but it seemed like Boogie had him on his heels a lot of times.
I wouldn't even say that. How Boogie was affected. Like, his passing, like, he's such a good playmaker. So with his ability to shoot as a big, him being on the perimeter, just get that big off the paint. He could pass the ball to Klay cutting, pass it to Steph cutting, you know what I mean? I mean, that's how they thrive. That's how the Warriors
thrive. I
think
it was more the Raptors losing that game to me because the Raptors role players just didn't play. Siakam wasn't playing well. Like he had 30. Like he took off the first game. Like you need that. You need that every single time.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it was a point in the game where I'm like, is Siakam playing? Like I didn't see. Was he? I don't know if he was playing or what. Did he sit out for a while in game two? Like the end of the game, I feel like he wasn't out there.
He just goes on like quiet stretches. Like I feel like sometimes he gets stuck in that corner spot and he's real hesitant to shoot. Like, you know what I mean? Like he'll just one dribble.
I mean, he shoots it now, but he's not a shooter, so it's not. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And he kind of dies off in the offense, especially if Kawhi's getting doubled and they're forcing another way. Like Lowry's more time than not making the play or swinging to Danny Green or getting it down to Gasol. So
right for sure. So I mean. We've seen two games. What's y'all predictions? Like, what do y'all think? How y'all think it's going to end?
Like,
The pressure on, but you just, I mean, you got to make, it's so much things that can go on, obviously, with Kevin Durant. You don't know if he's coming back. Klay Thompson looked like he was hobbled now. The Warriors, Kevon Looney's out. I know you guys saw that. So, I mean, the Warriors are hurting, but the Raptors, they got to win.
They're Patriots comparison right now, I think.
Who, the Warriors?
The Warriors?
Yeah.
Just about the dominance because just next man up.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, does that even scare y'all? Like, I feel like your opinion shouldn't change right now, right?
I felt Toronto had to hold home court. Like, if they had any chance of winning the series, they had to get the first two. Yeah. Because now you're going to have to go steal one at Golden State and the Oracle.
I mean, they haven't been as good. The Warriors are actually better on the road, the way they have been better on the road in the playoffs. So... Like, they're vulnerable. Not saying they're vulnerable at home, but they've lost games at home where they just have like a lapse. You know what I mean? They lost to the Clippers. Well,
I think they're vulnerable. Yeah. So I'm saying. I think they're vulnerable in general without Kevin Durant. Right. I still think they're vulnerable.
All right, so what's up? Which I think.
I think it depends on if KD comes back. If KD doesn't come back, I think it's a series. Well, if he comes back, I think the Warriors won flat out once he's back. Okay. It's just too much.
Say he doesn't come back to like game 6 or 7.
Game 6?
Say he comes back to game 6, but the Raptors are up.
3-2?
3-2. Going back.
It's a series. I mean, I think it all depends on how fast KD comes back.
I'm saying if he's coming back for one, if you're telling me he's coming back at game 6 and you think he's going to be KD. In Toronto, he's going to be KD.
I think in game 4. That's what I was thinking to start the series, but have y'all seen him like out there? Like he can't even walk around.
That's why he's not near the bench. I think that's why he hangs out in the back.
When he was talking to Drake after. It looked like he was hobbling around a little bit. Like he didn't look right.
There's no way he
couldn't even walk up to Drake and actually say what he was trying to say. Like his leg is hobbled. But
yeah, there's no way he's coming back. I don't think there's any shot that he's coming back.
All right, let's just so with break that it being down said, then. That, say he doesn't come back. That's how we just going to bring that.
With that being said,
if he doesn't come back,
I'm going to take Toronto.
How do you see the series going? So tomorrow night, do they win or lose?
No, don't even say like. I just want to hear where he's taking Toronto. If he's taking Toronto, if he doesn't,
I'm gonna take Toronto in 7.
In 7,
Toronto in 7. I don't know. I still think.
But break it down how you see.
I think in 7, I see the Warriors winning. The Warriors winning in 6 or 7. Like no matter still? What. Okay. Yeah, okay. They're just too good. They're just veterans. Like everybody is playing well. Like Toronto had this meltdown yesterday, and it's just. Well, 2 days ago.
Steph and Clay haven't really snapped, too, like how they can actually snap.
And that's kind of what I was getting at.
Clay played great in game 2, but I'm saying, like, Clay can give you 35-40 when he really snapped. Yeah. Like, he did that game 6 against the Thunder, like, in the playoffs, like, when that shot's falling.
I mean, he was on pace. He was definitely on pace last night. He had the first 9 points for the Warriors. You know what I mean? Like, so,
right.
Like, just he was rolling from the get-go, and then obviously the injury took him out of the game. But
yeah, I think Toronto, top to bottom, has a better roster, in my opinion. I think 1 through 10, I think Toronto has a better roster.
But you can't play 10 right now.
What's that?
You can't play 10 right now.
Well, you have to. They're playing. Golden State empties their bench.
They have to. Just they have the to. The way their team is.
You know what
Everybody's
I mean?
Playing 6, 12-minute stints like Jordan Bell.
You know what I mean? And the thing is, Quinn Cook has been pretty good. But other than that, they're not getting a lot from the bench. Now, if Kevon Looney's done... Now that's the only guy that can guard the pick and roll. DeMarcus Cousins isn't guarding pick and roll.
Yeah. So 8, 9, and 10 for the Raptors are Powell.
They don't run a pick
McCall,
and roll.
And who's the 10th guy for them? Like none of those guys.
McCall doesn't get in.
McCall doesn't play that much.
He played a little bit in the first game.
The only reason he played in the
I'm
first game.
I'm more talking like 6 through 7. Like maybe 8 through 10, maybe not as much, but okay, 1 through 8. We'll say 1 through 8. Yeah. I'll take Toronto's.
Okay, so that's why you got him at 7. It makes sense. But for McCall, I think the reason he played in that first game is because it was kind of like he played against them. Like,
yeah,
like you got that little, yeah, you know what I mean? It's that type of factor.
I'm trying to see where you're going to get. League, what were you going to say?
So Ryan got Toronto Raptors in 7. League got Warriors in 6 or 7.
Yeah,
no
6 or 7.
So we're saying if Kevin Durant doesn't come back, which is likely. It's kind of looking like that now.
I think it's a series, though. I think the Raptors play. Like I think it's a good.
What do y'all got?
Good series.
Well, I got okay. I got Warriors in. What we say at the start? I got Warriors in 6.
Warriors in 6.
I originally had Warriors in 5.
We didn't even pick.
Now is this?
You did. When we did the review podcast. I had Warriors in 5. I think.
What did I have?
I think you had 6.
Are you guys going to do the whole with or without KD, or are you just
no,
gonna
I'm
cut
going
straight
with,
to
I'm
it?
I'm going with like if KD doesn't come back. Yeah, without KD, I'm thinking Warriors in 6 still. I still think they got enough to get it done. All right, so, you know, what we got our guys here for, you know, we got a couple questions we're going to ask them about that that great season they had a couple years ago. I think it was last year, so that's a couple years ago. My fault. I ain't going.
Yeah, man, we're not that old yet.
My fault. Yeah, it all feels the same after you're done, right?
Yeah, basically.
Right, but ask them about their season and just, you know, have a smooth convo and, you know, get right into that. So
my first question for you guys is, Ryan, when did you get there? Were you there all 4 years?
I was there my sophomore through senior year. My first year, we went to Mansfield together.
Right.
He stayed for the second year. I went home and then went to ESU the following year.
What prompted you guys to leave? I know.
You know, pretty much exactly your question. I was pretty much looking for a new basketball culture. Okay. You know, in the PSAC, East Stroudsburg always had prestige. Even at Mansfield, we knew that. You know, we felt it when they came in the gym. So when the opportunity came, you know, I thought it would be best to go to that kind of culture.
Okay.
For me, it was an unfortunate situation. I knew our coach was about to leave, so I was like, our coach is leaving. I wasn't really feeling that we were losing a lot.
Who was your coach at the time?
Coach Miller.
Okay.
Pretty good guy, though. But I had the opportunity to transfer, and then East Stroudsburg hit me up, and I figured why not go play with my boy again. So.
Right. Ah, okay. So you
best
guys.
Best part about that is my fault not to cut you off. It's a winning culture. So, you know, why wouldn't you want to go into something where you know
right.
going in, that's the tradition of the team.
Right, and also the opportunity came where the major that I was in actually got dropped for a little bit.
Okay.
So that enabled me to transfer. Without that, I still might have done it anyway, but it wasn't, you know, like an indictment on the coach. It was just, if you've ever been to Mansfield, you kind of understand.
Okay. A little slow up there. Like,
a little slower. All they have is a Walmart in town. That was what we used to do. Walmart. Get on the bus and go to Walmart and walk around for 45 minutes until we came back.
That was our main street.
So,
yeah.
What was the basketball culture like at Mansfield, though?
It was different, you know, because they had been winning in the prior to that.
Right.
A lot. They had I think they won a PSAC championship.
Right.
2012, like maybe a year or two before we got there.
Yeah, like not too long before that. But you know, I think they just they struggle to get a lot of good guys up there sometimes.
Right.
And then
just because of the area, not to say, but it was kind of in the middle of nowhere. That's why everybody was saying. Like,
yeah, and I mean, and we certainly had some talent too. Right. It just never came totally together. Yeah, right. Like the culture of togetherness, it just wasn't there.
Yeah.
Whatever reason, and it wasn't off the court. Right. It was on the court. It wasn't mm-hmm. like.
But it was early too. Like you guys were freshmen.
Right. We were. We did have a lot of, not even that many young kids actually.
We brought in four freshmen our year and. Two redshirted men. We both played, so it wasn't like we brought in a lot of people.
And I think they made the playoffs the year before we got there. Maybe it was our fault.
Right?
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was totally.
You know how it goes. It's just a system sometimes. I feel you. It's just a system sometimes, though. You need a fresh start. So, I mean, you guys obviously moved on to East Stroudsburg. You guys had that great season. We got 27-6. What y'all telling us? Yeah.
What's the name of you guys' coach that year?
Coach Wilson.
Coach Wilson.
Okay. Spider.
Coach Spider.
Spider. Spider. I remember asked about him. He like, "Where's Spider?" I'm like, who's
talk to
Spider?
Us about a Spider system.
He hit the court style today.
Yeah.
What's that?
Talk to us about Spider system. So like the transition.
The culture.
From Mansfield. Like,
I mean, the
way
culture, you can pretty much just sum it up in like one relentless is what they call it up there. Right. What we call it.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's cute.
Listen, listen.
Ask about it.
To start it off, I scrimmaged them. We used to scrimmage them. I played at the sales.
We were
the D3 team that would come in there and play the D2 team. You know, they probably would sleep in league. Always make fun. Like, yeah, we didn't even care when y'all came up there. We was taking that
for
shit.
For real. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was like 9 a.m. every time.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Y'all played as well. Y'all had a great team, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't sleep on that.
Coach Will always be like, don't let them come up here and beat the shit out of you. Like, they do every year.
Yo, every time out, he's blasting.
I mean, like I'm saying, to our point, we were the D3 team, so obviously we would be, you know, all hyped and jacked up to play them. But still, even them not, you know, whatever, taking us serious or whatever the case was, I'm pretty sure they obviously played. But just the way they would press, like, at their 94 feet whole game. So you're
at 9 a.m. in the morning.
And you know, you're just like.
Not 9 a.m., 6 a.m.
Oh, yeah, for practices. But when it's a scrimmage, we got to go.
You got to.
9 a.m., we're up.
Wait,
would y'all
wouldn't work out before y'all played us.
No.
I was talking about preseason. Because I know y'all used to run preseason.
It was crazy. Preseason was a lot about the culture, too. That was kind of part of that relentless what they call relentless mentality.
So,
I mean, like,
so for some of the kids listening, like, give me like your preseason program, like, just walk me through like what you guys had for like a week while you're up there.
If you're living, yeah, bro. So you get up there. If you're a freshman coming in, if you're a freshman listening, you're gonna get up there for your first week, and you're gonna have a great time during syllabus week.
or at least you should have a As great always. Time during Syllabus yeah. Week.
Depending sure. on what you're doing. If
you yeah, start your college thing. Career off yeah. the right way. Go have some fun. For sure. But make sure you're hydrated, because come that second Monday, bro, it's 6 a.m. and you're either on the court for a half hour, or you're in the gym, or you're in the weight room for a half hour, and that's after a half hour of running of some kind.
It's pure running.
There's just, the
just pure.
What are they called?
24s.
But it's like, the thing is, I think people have to understand how crazy it is to play 94 feet the whole game. Like, you're just subbing and just have fresh legs. You're just picking them up full court. Like, you're forcing them to play at a faster speed than they want to play, no matter what. So even if you're, even as an offensive player, if you're a good offensive player, you're still rushed to a pace that you don't always want to play at. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, at all times. So it definitely affected everybody. So I think, you know, that's how you guys had that, you know, crazy season. Was there an actual moment where y'all knew, like, this team, like, we could be real good this year? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you had that moment where you're like, this team's special.
For me, I thought it was early in the season. It was right. our second game of the season. Our coaches were at us, like, before the game. Like, we got to prepare. It was a doubleheader.
Right.
And we went out there, like, tough team. But we were losing at one point. We mm-hmm. battled back and came, like. And at that point, after the game, I knew we were special because our coach was ecstatic, like, screaming, yelling. Like, he was hyped. So, like,
yeah.
I really felt like he thought we were good enough to be. Yeah, right. Like, one of those moments where I'm like, he believes in us. And, like, we took off today. And
I definitely – we played Pitt Johnstown.
Yep,
yeah, Pitt I Johnstown. Mean, that was – we started off that weekend. And I thought we were going to be good after that weekend because our best player that weekend was Mark. Martin. I think Rodriguez. Freshman.
So we got that game pulled up for y'all. Actually, y'all won 99-88. Beat them by 11.
Yeah. You remember your box score for that game?
I'm going to say 15.
You had 15?
7.
I think I had 10. I think I had double digits.
Rodriguez had 15 and 8.
Yeah. I'm going with 10. Yeah. I think I had 10.
Watching. I had 10.
Talk about, I'm the box score watcher. He knows his rebounds and points. I'm the box score watcher.
They both knew, though. They won. They got okay. the W. They got the W.
But no.
Was that what moment in that game was like, all right, yeah, we could be tough this year.
Well, we were down. We were down, actually, most of that game. We weren't playing very well.
Right. So you won by
a lot. And then, dude, about a 2-minute stretch, our press got to him. We started right. turning him over. Ridiculous.
And you're like, oh, this shit really worked.
And we popped right back on them, and then we battled it out.
Yeah. Like, that's what's really crazy, because as the year would go on, like, some teams really would be in the game with us a little bit, and then boom, one, we call them rotations, like it's your 3 to 4 minute rotation, because we get a timeout every time.
Mm-hmm.
And one rotation, boom, you get tie that. Game to
I mean, and 10 point lead. That's right. kind of the whole point of the press lead. Is right. you know, we're looking for about a 2 to 3 minute window.
Yeah.
Or maybe 3 1-minute windows just where we turn you over 3 times in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now we just put not we hit. I mean, eight how many times runs, did yeah. how many times did Nick, Mark, and I hit 2 to 3 threes in right 15 four. Seconds?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you do that to teams, it's the disheartening. It's disheartening.
What was the toughest game of the year for you guys in the regular season?
In the regular season,
yeah.
I think the best game that. I thought, other than the first weekend, because we dropped a few ones that we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Right.
But I thought the most significant game, and probably our best game, we had just dropped a game to Lock Haven, you know, which we didn't feel we should have done that.
82-89.
Yeah. Come on, bro. So you got to understand.
So y'all only lost 6 games in the whole entire season, so obviously every loss was
right. meant something. And I mean, this one hurt because... Like I said, we shouldn't have lost that game.
He was hooping, though.
Yeah, cool. I think 20, I had a dub. Cool dub. Yeah, yeah.
Small dub. Small dub. Chill.
I appreciate you.
We found out what's going on in that.
Yeah, game. Hack and Shack. Yeah, he used to get in and get 3 fouls in like 30 seconds, too.
Chill, my man. Go ahead, man.
No, but the worst part of, like, the worst part was the loss, and then it was over winter break. So then the next game, we had to travel 6 hours to go out to play IUP for one game.
Wow.
Right, so you leave on a, you wake up at 8 a.m. on a Friday
mm-hmm.
in the bitter cold in Stroudsburg, and you're driving all the way out to IUP.
Yeah,
right, and then you get there, have practice, go eat, home, up at what's 8 a.m. for shoot around.
Yeah, y'all win that game.
Yeah, they won that game.
85-82.
And that game was crazy because mm-hmm. they were phenomenal. It was at home.
They were probably ranked top.
I think, yeah, they were top, I think they were ranked something.
Top 10 in the country.
So you just lose. You just lost to Lock Haven.
And then we had to go on the road to go play one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah. So they got a nice gym out there.
They got everything out there. They got blimps flying around over your head.
Probably wasn't packed, though, because it was winter break. So it was probably a little.
It was kind of packed. For real. It wasn't students, but the community from IUP, we were there. But
yeah, just tell us a little bit about that game.
It's crazy because that game was like a must win. We just lost to Lock Haven, who wasn't that good, and then it was a drone. You can't slip two in a row and try to win the PSAC East. Like, it was just too good of a season. But from the game, like, early on, we just were great game. Like,
yeah, I mean, down the stretch, we had, at one point, we had a mix and match lineup out there. I think it was like you, me, Kobe, Kit, and either Josh or Steve, but it was a total just mix and match lineup. We were just trying to, you know, get a hold of that game, and we ended up making a lot of big plays down the end of that game.
Right, just with
Leak,
on different type Kit. Players that aren't like exactly
the three biggest shots at the end of the game came from our bench, and that's, I think that's the thing that kind of separated us.
I was just about to ask that. So my next question was, like, what do you think separated you from the other PSAC teams? Like, obviously, you guys pressed and your culture was, you said, relentless, get up in other teams. But was there anything you ever noticed? Because obviously you play every team twice a year in your specific league. So you know how, you know the tendencies of other teams. Was there anything you saw that was different from East Charlesbury than, you know, these other schools that you guys play?
I think, personally, we were 10 deep. We had 10 guys who could have started on probably almost any team we played. So being 10 deep, that just helped us a lot because you can't game plan for 10 people. Like, we had 10 people who all scored double digits in multiple games. Yeah. We almost had 10 people.
Evenly distributed. Like, average double digits. Yeah. Like the box score. Like, a lot of guys getting involved, like you said, from the IUP game. Like, guys played, everybody played like 22, 27 minutes, like, you know,
just a deep team. The culture was anybody can get involved. You know, teams that are deep, you don't know who's going to actually hurt you off the bench. It could be a starter, it could be a couple bench players, it can be a couple starters. You know,
yeah. Like, if you're coming there looking to play 30 minutes and average 25, that's not you're going to the wrong place. I mean, I didn't play with anyone, and Steve and Sheed were phenomenal.
Right.
I don't think either of them averaged more than 17. Sheed might have got 18, but Steve, I think, was 14, and Steve was a monster all year long. Yeah. Dominant.
So, quick question. So, I know you got a lot of, you guys get a lot of points in transition just because, obviously, you get up and, you know, press. What was your half court offense? Like, what did y'all run in half court?
Good question.
Man, we had our continuity. I don't want to give away the.
No,
he's taking Ferrari.
I'm just saying, you know.
You know, we put it ahead. Look for the early offense.
It's not
even. You get that inside info, man.
It's like a 4-out 1-in, and you just pass the ball and cut.
Yeah, I mean, we have some plays, but everything ends up into continuity at the end of the day, which is
simple. Our coach, Coach Colville and Wilson, right?
Wilson,
they were so similar. Like, they, the old school, like. The continuity at the end of, like, we ran a lot of, y'all knew we ran a lot of shit when y'all played us. Like, we used to back
screens. We didn't screen on ball, not off the ball.
We did screen on ball. I remember when we put, y'all had this, y'all would enter into the post, like the guard, the league guard, enter into the post and just go screen away. But I remember he would screen somewhere different every time. I don't know. It was a weird type of offense.
It was continuity. Like, was you probably, throw the ball one way.
Yeah, you
throw
mean
the ball,
you really
you
could.
Out. Like,
yeah, you just got to get the hell out of the way.
And I remember being younger at a D3 school, obviously playing you guys. And when y'all would do that, I'm like, what? I was like, you know what I mean? Like, he's going here. But it was like, I didn't actually think. You know what I mean? I didn't actually think. I don't know. I'm not really getting.
Yeah, it wasn't just chaos. It was. Calculated.
I didn't actually ever play against that. You know what I mean?
For the listeners at home, you can see Leak and Ryan, Coach Spider got them on lock in this joint. They're not really trying to get a trade secret. So
I was just saying the way, you know, these guys played. It was a unique way. It was a unique way. So. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, in a lot of words,
can't give away spider secrets, man.
Yeah, we ain't trying. Right, I mean, all that, but
we'll catch him after the bar one night.
you have to catch him out in Stroudsburg.
So, what was the question I want to ask you guys? Was who's the best, like, player? I guess we'll do player and team. So, Best player you guys played against? Like
best player I played against, it has to be Amir Hinton.
Amir Hinton. Okay. Is that he's
Philadelphia drafted, kid, right? I believe. Yeah.
He's projected to get drafted from D2 school.
Bro.
That's super tough.
We were saying, like, I was saying he's next level. I mean, I thought he was Division I. I mean, I didn't think NBA was coming.
That happens.
I was saying NBA. I told you NBA.
Did you say NBA? Yeah. I mean, I knew he was not supposed to be playing in the PSAC, but...
Wait, where do you play?
Lock Haven.
And then he transferred to Shaw.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I think he averaged
34, 5, and 5 steals.
What?
3 assists.
Wait, wait, wait. 34? That's what he had.
He gave us hell.
What kind of player is he? Like, I don't even know, like, his
dimensions. Bro, he's just so smooth. Like,
what position?
He's a 3. 2-3. I mean, he's got to be 6'6".
Probably about 6'5". Yeah, 6'5".
6'5", 6'6".
Got a real smooth game. He could dribble.
Crazy bounce.
Could jump.
Stupid bounce. Could shoot.
Yeah.
Bro, he's got it all. Score with his right and left hand.
Yeah, like a spot shooter, or like he shoot off the bounce.
Off the bounce. He's creating a lot.
I didn't see him take a lot of shots, set shots. No. A lot of off the ball stuff. I mean, on the ball stuff.
Wait, you said y'all shouldn't have lost the Lock Haven? What, they didn't
have? No. They're like, you know, like every year, they're like the 1-6, we gotta make the playoff. They're like the 5-6 seed every year. So it's like the team, like, you can lose to them, but you're not supposed to lose.
So it's like him and then.
But they're really good at home.
He ain't really black on y'all, though. He only had 23.
Yeah, one game.
13 boards.
He had 40 on us the year before.
Yeah, he gave us 40.
Sheesh. All right, who's the best team? I'll ask you, like, best team you played against that year and then just consistently when you're at ESU.
I mean, so that particular season, it's going to be another PSAC team, it would have to be.
I'm going to say Shippensburg. I'm saying Shippensburg. They beat us by 40.
I ain't doing that.
Damn.
They beat us by 40.
A was on the team?
No, that's just... you know how he said Amir Hinton? I was kind of thinking Sliva. Shippensburg's best player was Dustin Sliva.
The big guy,
but... I mean, he was good. Every game he gave us.
Yeah.
Everything,
36 on y'all that night.
Damn,
you
going
crazy.
Like,
relax.
That man,
nine for nine,
3-point range. I'm not gonna lie. They didn't miss that night. Check their 3-point percentage from that night.
Dying.
I bet it's over 50.
16 them things. 16 bombs.
57%.
57% from three they shot. And what was ours? Like 20.
Yeah, 25%.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm gonna see what y'all niggas had. Keep going.
But the thing is, like, that's
so you said Ship's the best team. You
that's
played?
The that yeah. game is the
who,
reason
you
we
think
won
the same
chip.
That game. Said, what did you say was the best team?
Yeah, I ain't gonna do that to y'all.
On a consistent basis, or just that year?
Or did we? Yeah, just that year.
I'm not gonna say Shippensburg, so I'll go.
Them twice, so
we beat them twice. Yeah, I have to say Northern State.
The team that beat you.
We played horrible against them, but they were a very, very good team. Beatable.
8-point
game. They were...
That shit crazy. Y'all had that. So y'all went
that
to
was
Elite
a crazy
eight.
Streak.
So
I was watching that,
their
talk about the tournament a little bit.
Their score, so the tournament was
just
amazing.
You know, like how you got to that point.
Before that, just kind of give the experience going into the tournament, like, it's a lot different how you prepare for it, right? So what is your practice schedule like? Like, how do you get going from school?
So you have to, first of all, you had to ride, what?
Six? I just want
to
say, so I beat Gannon, in the regular season.
The PSAC chip,
and then you played them right from the first round.
Yeah, and they beat us. They were one of our losses early in the season.
They beat you guys?
Yeah, I had a concussion. I didn't play that game, and they beat us up.
Right.
They beat us pretty handedly, I think, too. I think it was like double digits.
Nah, they beat us by 6.
Was it?
Yeah, 6 or 8.
I'm going to check this.
But either way, after that Shippensburg game, man.
Going into the tournament, like, how is that? I was saying we were saying like going into the tournament. How are you guys?
We just won the PSAC chip. Right. We win by 30. Mm-hmm. Like,
Our preparation didn't change though.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's and that was the one thing about Coach Wilson. It didn't matter if we were playing Gannon for the PSAC championship or Cheney on a Saturday afternoon for no reason.
Right. So
we were gonna, spaced out.
Like, we had the same amount of film. The same amount of. You know, game planning. We're gonna play the same way.
So is that what got you guys to that point? Obviously, to get to Elite Eight, you just were same preparation. We're gonna blitz you, like you guys aren't stopping our press. Like, was that the vibe, basically just going up? When you were playing teams, how was the press working on teams in the tournament? I basically want
to
ask.
So before I could even say that, I think we had to go back to the Shippensburg game where we got beat by 40. After that, I mean, that was for first place in the PSAC, all that. We were pissed. And we had a team meeting after that, and
you beat them twice, and then they beat you.
The first time. We beat them at home. They beat us at home, and then we got them in the tournament. But we had a team meeting after that, and I think we all just kind of like realized that we were worrying way too much about trying to win the PSAC instead of just playing our game. You know what I mean? We were talking about how cool it was going to be number one before we even got to Shippensburg that night.
Right.
I also think we were probably on like an 8-game, 7-game.
Yeah, we were playing well. Like
we just dropped one game, so then we go on a little streak, and then
we're back. Yeah, I mean, we were definitely riding high, and we knew we were a good team. But we still had a lot of holes in our game, and Coach Wilson was always, saying, "No, you guys, you're not there yet."
Right. So Ansel, pull up. You have like the NCAA games, so we can just
So the first game,
what you remember of
you guys played Gannon.
You beat them by 9.
What? So you go down to Virginia. Like, what do you guys have? Like, do you have practice time on the court. What's that like? Just kind of
We had to practice half. We drove about 4 hours, stopped and had to practice in
Maryland
State. Somewhere.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and then we got to get back on the bus, drive to Virginia.
Mm-hmm. How much did you guys know about Gant, or like you played it before? But
we actually had another practice before we even got. Yeah. We had another practice at a junior college.
True, we practiced at a junior college too.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm saying, man. Coach Will was,
and y'all still running.
Same practice for the most part. Yeah, I mean, we didn't really go 5-on-5 live.
Okay.
It slowed up a little bit.
Yeah, once we got to the facility, man, everything was very calculated. So the NCAA, like, we would be there 15 minutes early, and, like, you literally couldn't step on the floor.
Yeah, I remember
they'd
that.
Have the clock. You can't step on the floor until it's your time.
So you can't touch a ball.
You can't touch a ball, nothing. And then
you can't
even
have your own, like,
no. You have to be behind a curtain. You can't see. If there's a team out there before you, you have to stay back behind the wall.
Right.
It's a lot that goes into it. So that was a little different. Nothing crazy, though.
So the Gannon game, you beat them, obviously, by 9.
Yeah.
That was, should have beat
them. Key thing for me that I see instantly, you guys shot 96% from the line that game.
Against Gannon?
26, yeah.
I think as the year went on, we actually got – we were pretty good.
We were good.
Everyone was pretty good from the free throw line. I think we shot about 70-some percent from the free throw line as a team.
Okay. Casual game.
Let's see. I mean, so, yeah, you beat them, obviously, because, you guys knew them. You guys do them. Y'all played them in the championship.
Yeah, they really didn't want any parts of it.
It's crazy. We end up playing all PSAC teams.
That's how good the PSAC was.
We played 3 PSAC teams.
Then we had to go get Westchester. You mad because
they beat Westchester.
Yeah, like, relax. Let them get to it. Because Westchester, we skipped over earlier in the regular season. We were going over that. But yes, they did beat Westchester.
They beat us on a bad call that got on SportsCenter.
It was on SportsCenter. And they did not.
And it wasn't even, bro. It was the most goaltending shot.
Hold on,
we
lost
them
in the regular season?
Yeah, at Westchester.
This dude,
Michael Jordan from the foul line. I mean, it was the most impressive thing I've seen in a long time. Yeah. And I saw it live, but it was a goaltend.
Yeah. We get a steal. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. We get a steal probably like the 3-point line.
Mm-hmm.
Kid's almost at the baseline. He catches our guy. As it hits the backboard.
Yeah, bro.
It was a goaltending. It was just some crazy.
It was a bang bang play, but yeah. I mean, I thought it was clearly goaltending.
Wait, who?
Kid.
You got me out here.
It's no big deal.
When you take off too slow, like, how did he catch it?
Nah, bro. Yeah, but you didn't see what this kid. You didn't see where this kid came from. I mean, it wasn't Kid's fault.
Yeah, it was one of those.
He was supposed to be alone. You know what I mean? Like, there was no one else in here on this kid. If you ever saw the video, bro, it's nothing, and then out of nowhere.
Didn't the kid get the bucket at the other end? Or no,
that ended the game. Blocked it. Oh, yeah. One second left. Probably 1 second left on the clock.
The lead official that had that call was one of the guys that lives in my hometown. I see him all the time. I still give him hell about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you screwed us, right? Like,
Right, but y'all got it back when it mattered.
Y'all beat them in the tournament.
We beat them twice, man. We took care of y'all.
Okay.
How was that game in the tournament? How was the vibe of that?
Every game with Westchester, I think they're more of a rival than Shippensburg, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know what I mean? I'm not really concerned. I was never really concerned with Ship. But Westchester, the thing about Westchester is they're just gritty. Like, they're also relentless. Like, they attack the glass. Like, they just play so hard. Like, the kid Rokins that we're talking about, him alone, he's a problem by himself. Kind of Draymond Green-esque. Mm-hmm. He was very disruptive at all times. And they were just really skilled.
Bull Jackson, Matt Pinnacle.
He's tough.
Jackson Highland's super tough.
Yeah, he used to give us buckets. I mean, he's a tough guard, though. He's like 6'7". Yeah. Put it on the deck, shoot a three.
But yeah, that game was evenly distributed. Like, Kobe led the lead with 15, but everybody had like 15, 15, 10, 10, 8, 8, 8, 8. Yeah, so man. Everybody is contributing. So like,
if you look at our box scores, you'll see it's like that.
Every game at least 10 people score, and every game we had different people or multiple people.
Only three guys in a square game. It's crazy.
I mean, Steve was really good against Ship in the championship, but the MVP of that game was Josh Williams.
Oh, yeah, Josh Williams played well the whole tournament,
but I mean, our depth, like, it could have been anybody's night that day, and it just happened, you know, Josh caught fire that night.
Right.
Okay. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how our whole season went. Right. I mean, Steve was pretty consistent getting, like, 12 to 14.
Right.
And he would have a couple big 20-point nights, stuff like that. After that, we all... Even Kobe, I guess Kobe was up there.
Yeah, Kobe had a big tournament.
Yeah, Kobe was pretty consistent all year long as far as scoring a lot every game. But like I said, we had, four guys after that average at least 9.5.
Yeah.
So, you know, any of us, you know how hard it is to average 9.5 points in college. You know what I mean? So it doesn't just sound like a lot.
Right.
No. Especially with the way that we play and the way the ball moves. Like,
exactly.
You can go into games where you have like five.
Right. Like, you might only get three, four shots off touches. In a game. You know what I mean?
It's just not the flow. Always,
and you got to just know that that's coming and just be efficient. Yeah. And that's kind of what we did, you know what I mean? Like, Mark and I, we shot a high percentage, and him and Josh in the paint.
That leads right into the question, what was your biggest struggle throughout the year, like, just individually, as you kind of went through things?
The only games we lost, man, when we didn't play defense.
Yep.
You know, we survived a lot of bad shooting nights because of our defense, but we also had a couple of shooting nights where we didn't shoot that bad, but didn't play any defense and lost.
I think our biggest struggle had to be the Elite Eight because after we lost the game.
So you beat Shippensburg to go to Elite Eight.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like in a game? What was our toughest struggle for a game?
Just personally, like going through the year, like as an individual. That's what I meant, but you can talk about in a game as a team.
Oh, I mean, it's just
I mean, basically you're saying it's just, that's how the flow of it. I mean, to say the biggest struggle, but I kind of see what Ryan was saying where. You just some games you come out there you're not playing as well. You're not playing. You don't have it.
And you know it's the worst thing because as a player, you know it.
But you're telling yourself
like, yeah, we're gonna get out of it. And as a coach, you see it. Like, I've coached my kids for AAU for a little bit.
And you're like you knew it the whole time.
And it's like an unwritten rule of basketball. It's like it's like sometimes you just gotta.
That's how
it wasn't our night. Like, you know what I mean? That's exactly the Elite Eight game. It's just. And we can't take it back, but like, you know what I mean? It was one of those nights where we just didn't do anything well.
Yeah, Steve played well, and that was about it.
And that was just about it.
We didn't play defense. Yeah. Our press didn't, like, they handled our press, so they broke us. Like, they handled our press, and most teams.
So, we were just out of whack that game. I mean, we don't switch screens ever at East Stroudsburg. It's like a cardinal sin. I switched the screen that game, and we got beat on a backdoor cut because of it. Like,
so what was the team's name?
Stupid things that didn't need to happen.
The team's name.
Northwest
Missouri.
Okay.
No.
Northwest State.
Northern State.
And it was just a tougher matchup than what you guys usually face.
Well, they had 7 size, foot, like 2'16",
and their wings weren't small. I mean, they were a big team. I mean,
which bigger than like PSAC players, like, you know, like what's in your actual conference? They're bigger.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the PSAC is full, like. Undersized fours, stretch fours, and undersized fives, stretch fives.
Right.
We were kind of the only team that had two legitimate fives. I mean, Relique's not really a five, but he's big enough. He looks the part.
Z-Bo.
I mean?
Yeah, me and Steve were probably
Z-Bo.
We were probably the biggest two or Like, we are both, like, some of the bigger guys in the league. So,
I mean, you don't see that every night. And then you go out in front of the – they had, what, like, 3,000 – I think the gym held, like, 4,000 people. And I think they had about 3,800.
Yeah. They had the whole stadium.
Literally, it was so – yo, so, yeah, it was like 4,000 people. It was sold out. Damn. And the only people for that – weren't from them that were with us were my parents, Steve's parents, and Nick's parents. No, how, we had nine fans.
For the tournament game?
Yeah, we had nine fans, bro.
Yeah. 30
Look up, it's on YouTube, look up the highlights. You can see the crowd in the background. But, bro, when they came out, the band and them were and the fans were clapping. Like, you ever see Hoosiers?
Yeah.
Movie Hoosiers?
Like, Minnesota, like, the Vikings, when they go,
Skull. Oh, yeah, they were in that.
Skull,
yeah, yeah.
Wolves.
Yeah, they were doing it. Wolves, like Skull.
Yeah. 32,000. That's 30, crazy.
They were 35 and 3
deep.
Yeah,
like, nobody, they
didn't
have a bus going from
ESU.
They
didn't win it all. Coming from ESU, bro. I was in South Dakota.
So, like, man.
Come on,
bro.
You're not wrong,
bro.
Bro, you are tripping.
It was only, like, 2.5 hours.
During spring break. Like, come on, man.
During spring break is corny. I was catching on TV, though. You know what I mean?
That is deep.
Yeah, they were deep. They were deep.
Did they win it all?
No, they lost the championship.
They lost the championship. Okay.
Yeah. They were the only team, actually, that didn't play fast. Because we saw the rest of the teams. They, and every other team that we would have played...
Which mean it would have... Like, it didn't speed
bro,
them up.
They slowed it down. Like... Damn. Like... Down. down.
Like, they broke
and they had athletes. That's the thing. They were athletes in the half court. It wasn't... Right. They didn't slow it down because they had to.
Right.
They slowed it down because they knew that we didn't want to. Like, right. They could have played fast with us, but they just chose not to.
Right.
And that was something totally different. Like, when you have 6'10 guys and they're pounding the ball inside.
Right.
And they did that pinch action the whole time, too, which is something we didn't see all year. They were good.
So, yeah. So, you know, that was the loss, obviously. The last one is things, obviously. But y'all won. Y'all went to the Elite Eight, which is crazy to be one of the last eight teams playing, you know, in the country division.
Yeah, now that it's settled, it's like, what, 2 years past it? Like, what are your thoughts on the year?
You keep trying to make us old, man.
No, but just, like, for real. Like, it's I mean, it's... Yeah, it's past y'all now at this point. Probably. Like, how do you remember that season?
I think it's crazy because, like, that's what we went there for. Like, you go there to, you know,
experience
like the,
something.
Yeah, right. You go there to try to win a national championship.
That's why we left, exactly. We left Mansfield. You know, like I said, we left the culture there to go to that culture. Your last go around. You know, because I was there for 3 years and I played on really good teams, but we kept falling short.
Mm-hmm.
He was there for two. He played on a good team. And then our last go around, we just kind of caught fire. And.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like,
two
and then,
games from playing in a national championship.
That's and then
two games away.
The best part about the whole trip, there's a snowstorm in PA, so we had to get, like, an expedited flight home, like, get on a plane quick. They chartered us a private jet. Not a private, well, it's not, like, a luxury jet, but, I mean, it was Rolls Royce, and, you know what I mean?
So it was a private jet.
We had catered Panera Bread. You had your own little blanket and pillow, but
it was a little bread bowl.
We flew commercial there though.
Okay. So what? So y'all were living. So what would y'all say was your most memorable moment throughout the whole season? Or if it was a story one, whatever.
We got two different ones.
Okay.
Mine was when we won the PSAC championship. Like, that was just the most memorable thing. We won that on our home court in front of the home crowd. Like, they brought in extra seats. The entire gym was packed. All our friends, like.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely. Sure was that you were probably there. It was my birthday.
I was in the second round.
You came to
senior night.
It was my birthday.
Damn.
That day. So, I mean, that was a really good day.
We won the chip.
Yeah. It was my birthday.
Dope. Oh, see, I had to
that's
be
dope.
We threw a little.
Oh, that was so special.
Shindig at the crib.
Something. We had to leave to go watch the selection show and then come back.
Yeah.
But no, the most memorable thing that I was going to say as far as. Something like that.
Yeah, the most memorable story.
Yeah, the most memorable story. I don't know if you remember. We were, there's two. The first was when we were in, we won the championship out in Virginia. Okay. And a couple of us that were of age, you know, we had to get on the bus to go home at like 8 in the morning the next day.
Long bus ride.
But, you know.
Hold up, dude. Even before that, like, we had a good, our friends came down to that Sweet 16 championship game, so yeah, we had a good 15 of our friends like there. Yeah, so
they were staying overnight, like they were already drinking before the game. Yeah.
So like to piggyback to what he was saying, like, that just
so like they wanted to go out and sort of like screw it. So you know,
let some of the steam off. I understand.
We order an Uber, bro, and I'm thinking, we have five guys, right? We have five guys going. And I order the Uber. What are the chances it's a freaking Prius that comes up when we got...
First of all, you didn't get the XL, did you?
Nah, no XL. See,
bro, you know how expensive the XL was to VCU?
I tried to fit five basketball dudes in a Prius. No, niggas,
I didn't know it was a Prius. That was when they got assigned. He pulled up. I opened up the door because Steve and all them came down because we were like, all right, let's go out like one at a time. So I go down first, get the Uber.
That's how I've been.
All right, you go. Coast clear. Everyone else get a cup. I'm like, well, what if it's not? Sorry, bro. Yeah. But anyway, so I get in there, and I look around, I'm like, we got four basket, like, dudes that are over 6'2", but they come in this Prius. Like, are you okay with this? And he's like, just get in, man. Like, we'll make it happen. Like,
right. Some people don't say that, though.
Yeah, no, and like, he was real cool about it. So we get there. It's karaoke night at this bar. We go to Virginia's Commonwealth's campus.
Okay.
We meet up with our friends down there.
Sticky Rice.
It's called Sticky Rice.
Sticky Rice. That's a freaky name.
It's like
Sticky Rice sounds
so
crazy.
So we go in there.
Landry Shammy used to be getting crazy.
We go in there and, you know, we're all hype and it's the South. So, like, they know immediately. Like, we're from the North. Immediately. Yeah.
They can just tell one person talks.
You could overhear people. Like, you could see them looking at you. Like, we were being obnoxious. It was like dollar Pabst Blue Ribbon cans.
Over.
And we were just kept, you know what I mean? And at that point, we really didn't care. Like, this is the only bar that's open right now. Yeah. We just won a championship.
Shut this John down.
We're coming in here regardless, Yankee style. We're coming in. Like, and, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know what happens inside a bar. So we had a great time at karaoke night, you know, and we had to wake up the next morning to go home. And, that was
man. What actually happened, Lee? Was he drawing in there? Like
he thought they lost me, bro.
What actually happened? We had a good night. Yeah, like, we sang a couple tunes. we don't sing tunes at our own school.
We were in there. Definitely, we were singing karaoke, something out of character.
We had our friends come down. We
We are the champions. We had that on there. But like I said, the football team, they showed us a lot of love. They came down, a few of them. Yeah, but then, you know, this is something that you'll always remember. You know, all those guys being there, coming out with you, it's something, it's one of those college memories, you know, it's like your first party.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that's going to stay with you for the rest of your life. It's something like kind of out of a movie, you know what I mean? You win the championship, then go out and have a good time with all your boys. I mean, a different state. Yeah. Singing karaoke, acting crazy, you know what I mean?
Nobody get kicked out?
Somebody got kicked out? No, we were good. We were good. We definitely weren't.
Y'all won and y'all had to celebrate in good faith. Yeah. Y'all were cool.
Yeah, it was definitely necessary. We were of age, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Y'all got any questions for us?
Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think about this Lonzo and Bradley Beal trade, actually? Let's get some free agent talk.
I did come down the pipeline the other day. What you think, Quiddy?
I think if I'm Washington, I mean, if you want to give them up, I feel like you probably can get more than that. But I would do it if you do Lonzo and a pick in that first pick, or Lonzo a pick and then maybe another piece.
What happens
for Brad Beal?
What happens though? Is Lonzo gonna be your two guard if John Wall ever comes back, or do you just stop?
You
lose faith on John Wall.
Is that? I think that's what the. Like you keep moving on and keep rebuilding
too much. He just got the max.
Well, then you put him on. You have to move him off ball because if you would trade for Lonzo, but if I'm the Lakers, I would definitely do that.
I would take
put Bradley Beal with LeBron. Yeah, you'll figure that out. You'll figure out ball handling.
See, I wouldn't necessarily. The only way I think that's a good trade for the Lakers is if they get somebody else too. Like if you give up Lonzo in that pick and only get Bradley Beal, well, Bradley Beal and LeBron aren't going to win a championship. So you just lost a good asset in Lonzo
but you're
banking that you get one of those guys. You don't know who they're going to get. They're not getting Anthony Davis.
I think they get somebody, though.
Okay, so we did the five kids.
I think realistically, you're looking at Kemba.
They're saying he wants to stay.
I'd say Kyrie.
I've been hearing Kyrie more and
the
more.
The last I saw, he's getting said more that and more Kyrie up to was
Lakers, but like a week ago, I heard he said absolutely, like, I'm not going to the Lakers.
Wait, because he currently plays in Boston, so yeah. I mean, like, he has to say that, but I mean,
well, I mean, he has no obligation to Boston now.
I mean, if he wants to leave the door open, I guess is what I'm saying, to going back to Boston, he has to say, yeah, I hate LA. Like, but I mean, when the decision comes down on the paper, you want to go back and play with Bron, or you want to stay up here in cold Boston.
We'll see. I just don't see him doing that. I think he cares too much about what people say.
What? Would you leave if you were Kyrie?
No.
No?
No. Absolutely not.
Not leaving Boston?
No. No. Oh, I'm not leaving good management. I'm not leaving a good coach. And I'm definitely not going out to that mess in
LA. If you can go play in LA with LeBron, your chances of winning a chip have skyrocketed past anybody but the Warriors.
Your chances of getting to a championship aren't even as close as they are staying with Boston.
Boston just got smoked by Milwaukee this year.
Bad. And what do you think Golden State would have done to the Lakers?
Bro, what's going on right now?
Hold up. LeBron James in the playoffs. Come on.
Okay.
Man, it's a different.
Yeah, he almost stole a game from the Warriors last year with no one. So imagine with Kyrie.
He had 51 against the Warriors.
Yeah.
First game of the series.
I mean,
I'm saying if I'm Kyrie, I'm staying in Boston. I'm getting to the finals. Like, I'm going to get there.
But we've kind of seen that a point guard can't really lead himself to the finals.
Steph Curry. He's shown you can be the best. I'm saying I don't think he's going to do that, and I don't think Kyrie should stay in Boston. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we've seen a point guard be able to be the best player on the team and lead him to a championship. I don't think Kyrie is that player though. So if I'm him, I would definitely go to Los Angeles. I would definitely go to LA over staying in Boston. But think Boston has like that is like promising for Kyrie to be like, okay, we can win a chip. Like,
well,
I mean, you got Tatum and Brown.
And they're willing to get rid of those guys to bring in a guy like AD. They're willing to do
like
that.
AD?
They will do that.
AD, Anthony Davis' dad openly said he don't want his son playing for Boston, so the chances of
not going to the Lakers, so that means where's he going? The Clippers? Or the Knicks?
My thing with all these scenarios that everybody makes, and y'all said something to me on Twitter about it the other day, and it's just not about the what ifs, but I'm saying, like, if you win a championship, I mean, if you're trying to win a championship, like, yes, Kyrie and AD, are they really winning the championship, though? Does that enhance your, like, does that make you, like, okay, that team's really going to win the chip this year? Like, I don't think Kyrie and AD are.
They can get to the finals, like, you know what I mean? So if they were to play in the East, like, it's all about getting to the dance, in my opinion.
Wait, are you saying that if LeBron, AD, and Kyrie are on the same team, they won't get to the finals?
LeBron, AD? No, I was saying just Kyrie and AD.
Yeah, so like, if they play on the Knicks together.
I thought you meant...
Oh, if they're on the Knicks or if they played in Boston together?
No, I was saying if Kyrie stays in Boston and they get AD, like they flip these young pieces for AD.
Okay.
I don't like mark them in as a title like they're going to the championship.
Yeah, I don't see. Them
I think they're.
No, I think they definitely reach the championship.
I think they definitely get there because
Kyrie and
you're Kyrie also and forgetting AD? That Gordon Hayward's going to be another year healthier.
Another year of contract,
and you and might be able to keep one or the other, Brown or Tatum. One of them definitely has to go, and then you're probably going to have to get rid of. Terry Rozier.
You're not keeping both of them. For AD, you're just not.
I'm saying you're going to get rid of Terry Rozier and either Tatum or...
No, you need Brown and Tatum.
Brown and Tatum are both going. Yeah. You're not giving. Yeah, they're not giving you
AD. If you give them Terry Rozier?
No,
Terry Rozier. He's a free agent.
We got you out.
It had to be Marcus Smart, somebody that's under contract. So if you go...
Marcus Smart is
probably
going to go.
You still need both those wings to go. You're not getting AD.
Marcus Smart's not even valuable for
every trade like that they show. It got both of them in there. Like every trade that they try to get a superstar has both of them in there.
Right. Put it like this: the Lakers going to give up Kuzma, Ingram, like Lonzo, those guys. Like the Celtics giving up those two. Like for AD,
should do that. I don't think the Lakers.
They should have never done that. Regardless,
all three of those guys plus a pick is.
It's addition by subtraction. Yeah, you're taking away the rest of your team and bringing in one guy.
Never, ever, ever think about doing that shit.
The Pelicans also played themselves, though, too, because they might end up
losing AD for nothing if they don't figure out some kind of deal soon. Like
they'll make a move. They'd rather take less value.
I think that was like,
but they're not gonna. They weren't gonna get a better value than what Magic Johnson offered them. He offered them.
Yeah, they're like,
you know what I mean. He offered them the Lakers roster. Bro, like,
he tried a strong offer.
Like, that's the level of petty you gotta have to not want to make that deal.
That's the best deal
you could ever get. You gotta just not like the Lakers that much.
You have a whole team.
But like that hurts your franchise. Like if you make that trade, your team is. Boom, y'all. That's a whole flip around. That's what you want.
Yeah, but that, and then, imagine they did that and they got Zion in the lottery this year. Then what? Like, you know what I mean? Imagine they made that trade and now they got Zion.
So, where do y'all think KD's going?
LA.
Because
what?
LA. Clippers. With Kawhi or just by himself?
I think Kawhi's going to stay.
Yeah, they say he bought property already in Toronto.
I think this season, I don't think he was going to until after they made it to the finals.
I think Kawhi is jetting.
I think he's gonna stay for a year.
They're in the champ. Like, I know he's a weird dude and everything, but there has to be some type of human part of you. Like, we went to the championship. Like, how much better can we
get? I mean, if KD calls me and says, "Yo, let's team up and go to LA," if I'm Kawhi, I'm going.
It's so much easier to do that. Like, what is Toronto? Kyle Lowry and Pat. You're waiting for Pascal.
Nobody's coming to Toronto. Yeah. Like, they're going to have the same team.
But he's a star. He's the biggest star in that country.
Don't forget, nobody wants.
And he's got that weird New Balance brand. That weird New Balance will never sell in the United States.
Like, he's from California.
But it's still a whole different lifestyle.
And think about this. Like, think how hard it is for his family members to travel to Toronto. You have to have a passport.
He's a weird dude.
And if any of your family members are ever like a criminal or anything like that, you can't get in Toronto. They can't come see you play. Right, like, it's like stuff like that. Like, all your family lives in LA. You're not buying a
plane to Toronto. I hear you. But here's the thing:
like, they can just drive up to see you.
Here's the thing: for him, he has that off-brand shoe. Right, mm-hmm. New Balance is not. It's never going to sell in the United States
right now.
What's that? No, the ones that he's wearing?
They're going for $500.
Low-key heat. I mean,
well, for his particular shoe, if he's the king of his own country in the north, that's the only way he's going to be able to market that shoe and actually might be able to get something out of it. Over here, he's not going to compete.
Bro, you go to L.A., everything rises. Yeah. LeBron, like they said, LeBron goes to L.A., he's going to be like have the top-selling jersey. He goes to L.A.
Just LeBron, you're in the mix. And then like the thing is, the Clippers with Jerry West.
Of course
West,
it's
like,
LeBron. And now you're comparing
Kawhi and LeBron. I'm just saying like L.A.'s market is the big thing.
Like if you go to L.A. with the Clippers, it's kind of like a... Like, you kind of get the competing thing with L.A. and L.A.C. now. You get Jerry West and, like, in the same building. Like, I think that brings a lot of heat to the West Coast. Like, where it's kind of, like, Toronto is just, I don't know, it's so dull up there, man. Like,
I always say it's such a nice city. Yeah, I heard it's one of the greatest cities. It was good enough for Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
He said it's his favorite city.
Nice are always happy, sunny, and lit.
Right, L.A. I mean, so you think both of them are going out there?
KD and Kawhi. I said Kawhi is gonna stay. I thought he would stay in Toronto, but I think KD is going to the Clippers for sure.
Got you. Yeah, I thought KD was going to New York. Him and Kyrie. I just got this feeling that everybody made the report that it would happen, but I just had this weird feeling that it's actually going. Like, I don't know.
See, if it was any other team than the Knicks, I would. But what everything goes wrong for the Knicks. Like, they don't do anything right. That's the problem. It's like, if it was anybody with them, I'd be
2020, something got to change, bro.
I think for the Knicks to have a chance, they got to make this AD trade happen.
Just do it. Yeah,
they
got to
make it happen before free agency starts. Because if free agency starts and they don't have AD, why do Kyrie and Kevin Durant want to come to New York?
Yeah, make something happen. Like, something that is in your control. Like, yo, if you give up, that third pick and like Kevin Knox and like a couple young pieces. Give up a couple young pieces. Just
you're getting Kyrie, you could probably give away Dennis Smith at that point.
Give all my, yo, you just gotta make a move.
Although I like Dennis Smith, so
he's good, but
you gotta build a bench, man. Just, you can't be top heavy and go into the playoffs. You gotta have some players come off the bench.
Right, I feel that. But yeah, we had a smooth talk. I mean, we talked some hoops, obviously. Just kind of wrapping this up. You know, got my guys in here. Thanks you guys again for coming in, running the pod with us tonight. Smooth.
Thanks for having us tonight.
Absolutely, man. Of course.
Anytime. Got anything y'all want to plug? Anything particular? Nothing? Y'all cool?
Oh, man, we're good.
Give us y'all Twitter handles, Instagram, so people can follow you off. You're like, no, you're cool.
I mean, if you could figure out how to spell my name, it's at Ryan Crouchner.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
On Instagram, RYs_23.
Let's get it. But yeah, thanks again for y'all coming on, you know, just chilling, vibing. We like to have these. Actually, it's our first time having them. We're going to have a couple more, you know, moving forward in
the teammate series.
In the future, so this teammate series. But like I said, 100 times, thanks for coming on.
TNT Hoops.
Something smooth.
Love.
Sir.
No problem.
Thanks for coming on, fellas.
We out of here. One.